sexuality is very fluid and you have every right to change what you like and how you feel about certain things.
All right, welcome back to the Society Says podcast, everyone. I have a new guest on today, and this is actually the first time I have a guest on that I just met her. And, you know, we're already hitting it off, and I'm super excited for this episode. We have some really awesome topics that we are going to cover today. And, yeah, so stick around, grab a snack, chill, do whatever you're doing, and keep listening. So I'm here with Vanessa today. How you doing, Vanessa?
Hi. I'm doing well. Thank you, Star.
All right. Do you want to kind of introduce yourself a little bit? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My name is Vanessa. I am from Los Angeles, California. I'm 25 years old. I'm currently going to school for film, but I'm constantly like wanting to change my major. I think I've changed it like 3 times. So, but I do enjoy film a lot. I love, you know, expressing through film and criticizing film and, you know, knowing why people choose the things that they do to do and portray in film. So I think it's a really good avenue to bring to light some really serious issues, and it's like a perfect opportunity to do that.
Awesome. I had no idea that you were into film. I don't know if you know this, but I do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I saw a video that you did on Angel's Instagram, and I thought it was so beautiful. I love that video because it really kind of showed who you two are as individuals, but like also as a unit together, and I love that.
Oh yeah, that was so fun. Like, I don't do those videos often, but when I do, I enjoy it so much because
yeah. And then your narrating was amazing.
Oh, thank so, you.
This is so cute. I love it.
Yeah, you know, I have my fun. Sometimes I wish that I was like, you know, Morgan Freeman sort of level of narrating.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was great. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. So I know that this first topic that we're going to talk about, we both can relate on, which makes me so happy that we can both bring stories to the table. But that is talking about just mental health in general, different issues that we both kind of have experience in, but more specifically choosing to take it on ourselves. So what I mean by that is not taking medication, not really like turning to therapy or anything, and not that we're like against it, you know, just that we choose, I guess, the route to be more self-aware. So do you kind of just want to share your overall experience, like what's been going on?
Well, mental health is something that I've suffered with for a very, very, very long time. I mean, I've been in counseling like kind of all of my school life, I would say. I mean, more of like the adolescence, right? Where it's 6th through all of the end of high school, right? I've always had a counselor, kind of gone through therapy and all those things. And it did help. I realized that I was just a really angry kid. My household wasn't always the most stable. I had both of my parents. I still do. They're not together anymore, but it was just kind of that shift of dealing with having your parents not have such a healthy relationship and having to, you know, maneuver around those things and always having to deal with things on your own, you know? So I ended up taking my anger on a lot of people while I was in school, you know? So therapy did help me a lot just to kind of express myself, but I got very, very attached to my therapists, and it just became like this, well, you can't leave me kind of thing, you know, just always feeling that sense of like abandonment, right? Because my daddy's a businessman, so he would always leave for business trips, and I just never felt that I had the constant emotional support that I really needed growing up. And my mom was there, but you know, everybody goes through their own things, and my parents were just kind of in their own world, you know? And then after high school, I just wasn't a good time. I was in a really, really ugly place. I was kind of seeking validation in a lot of ways that weren't healthy for me. I felt kind of just like, you know, not good about myself. I ended up being in a really emotionally and mentally abusive relationship. And it was very hard to get out of that. I started, a trigger warning, like just throwing up all the time, you know? It wasn't an eating disorder. It was just, I have severe anxiety and I get anxiety-induced nausea. So I couldn't eat. I was so sickly. Like, honestly, my skin was so yellow. Like, I was really unhealthy. I couldn't go out. I was so scared of, like, this individual. And then it turned into just me losing a lot of weight, just me being scared. And then after we ended up breaking up with him, I had to really work my ass off and to not throw up anymore, right? And to it, but it took me a long time, and even to this day, like, certain things still give me a lot of anxiety, and I'll, the way that my anxiety kind of shows itself is by me wanting to throw up, you know. So that's still something that's very much alive in today, but I don't throw up anymore, so that's kind of like my milestone, right? So I think when it comes to mental health, like, it's really important to focus on the little things that most people will be like, wait, but you still have anxiety. Yeah, but I don't throw up anymore. You see what I mean? Yeah. So I feel like that's really personal to me, you know? And yeah, after that, another trigger warning, like, drug abuse, just taking, I never smoked weed or anything like that. I wasn't taking, like, those kind of drugs. It was more like prescription medication. I had a boyfriend that had ADHD, and I was taking his Ritalin, and it was highly addictive. And I ended up just kind of abusing that for a little while, drinking a lot like crazy, just mixing the two, you know. Like, I ended up becoming addicted to my sleeping pills and could have just not woken up multiple times while my parents were in the house. Like, they didn't even know what I was going through, you know. So it was very lonely for a long time. But I just kind of quit those things cold turkey, and it was difficult, but I did it. But now I have the fear of becoming addicted, so I don't take my medication, and that's why I don't like to take pills, because I enjoy it. I enjoy not feeling things, right? Because I'm constantly trying to, like, not be sad, but, you know, I have a depressive disorder, and it's just part of me, and it's very difficult to not want to take my medication. I'll talk a little bit more about, like, my coping mechanisms and how I fight, like, my addictions. So, but yeah, I'll kind of, like, move forward with that. But I did go to therapy. I ended up being in a really, really ugly place. I was, you know, taking prescription medication, and I was drinking all the time, and then I was just lost. I went to my college campus, and I was so broken, and I just went to go to the therapy session, and it saved my life. Genuinely, it really did. I ended up being her case study, because there are students that are seeking to, like, become therapists on college campuses. And Patrice just saved my life. She was honestly just such a lifesaver. She just took me for who I was. And, you know, she did a lot of exposure therapy for my OCD, which would piss me off all the time, but I was so attached to her, you know?
Yeah.
And she really just kind of made me realize that I had a lot of good in me, and I didn't know how to show that, right? And she made me feel very loved and accepted, and I ended up learning how to be a little bit more accepting of myself and my brain, right? Because that's the thing that I'm constantly fighting with every day. And I saw her more times than was allowed, but because I was basically her case study, she asked me, like, hey, can I, you know, like, use you? And I was like, I'll take more therapy sessions than needed. That's perfectly fine with me. I need stability in my life anyway, yeah. You know? So I stayed with her for about a year, and that year saved my life. It really, really did. I haven't had a therapist since, and that was about maybe 3 years ago. I do have a psychiatrist because I need a psychiatrist, but I don't go to constant therapy sessions, although I think it would benefit me. I just don't, because I'm like, no, Patrice, just no one compares, you know? So, but I manage on my own, which is a great thing, you know? But absolutely, if you need therapy, seek it. The help is there. It helps a lot of people. It helped me. But I've gotten to a point where I know that I have the willpower, and I know that I can do it on my own. And it takes a long time to do that, you know, because I went through a lot of trials and tribulations with still, like, kind of relapses in between, right? Personal relapses and that stuff I kind of just keep to myself. But I'm a lot better now, and I'm really grateful for Patrice for helping me kind of get through those things.
That's,
you know,
good. That's so awesome. Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. It's not for everyone to choose to manage it on their own, because it definitely is like a huge toll. I do the same. Like I'm not against therapy, and actually just I think it was like 2 months ago that I told Angel that I was like okay, fine, like I'll go to therapy. And again, I wasn't against it. I just never had gone because, well, I'm kind of an a-hole and like I don't like people like telling me what's wrong with me and like thinking that they know me and stuff. I get super pissed off. And so I'm like, okay, I don't think I'd be very nice to my therapist, and I don't want to do that because it would just make me feel bad, you know, and like it wouldn't help me, because I would just end up leaving their office just feeling, you know, like horrible that I didn't treat them right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've just, since then, like I'm like, okay, like I'll go to therapy. But I don't know, we revisited the topic again, and we both just decided that I'm a very self-aware person, and that I have been doing okay on my own, not going, because I do, like, I have a lot of anger. I grew up like super angry. Up until I met Angel, I was like the most angry person. I like called myself the Grinch because I knew I was so angry. And like I wasn't pleasant.
But yeah, I wasn't pleasant for a really long time, okay? I know.
Yeah, it's such a weight. Oh my gosh. Sorry if you guys can hear some squeaking. I have two dogs in the same room as me. Yeah, no. I just had anger, and, you know, I had a dad who abused drugs and alcohol. So I weirdly kind of went through the same thing where I was afraid to take medication because I was afraid that I was going to get addicted, you know, and that I was going to turn into my father. And so I understand that, like, not wanting to take medication. So I've never even considered going on medication for like anxiety, because that's probably what I struggle with most. Is anxiety, especially this year. It's been like a toll on me because there's so much craziness going on.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it just takes it's not for everyone. Like some people need someone to sit down and talk to.
Yes.
And some people can do it on their own. I don't think that I necessarily recommend it because it's a huge weight to carry on your own.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah, it's a lot to be able to like literally constantly be looking inward and looking at your emotions and at your mental state and
really how you're treating the people around you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because it's not just you.
Yeah. It affects you, the affect people around you.
A series of other people, you know, and you're married, so you know you have a husband, and your emotions are gonna affect Angel as well, you know, as well as Angel's affecting yours. It's like I completely understand. I definitely had to look inward to be like, okay, I know that I'm being really grumpy, I'm being angry, I'm being like really depressed, but that also like affects people around me. And when I started to think about it that way, I became more conscious and more considerate of other people's emotions, right? I'm still grumpy. That's just me. I'm just a really grumpy person. Like I need to take naps all day. I'm just a cat like that, you know? But I mean, yeah, it kind of like being self-aware like that. I will say though, I do have medication because my anxiety can get like extremely severe. But my medication will literally expire like in my drawer, you know, because I don't take it like that. But I do take it when I absolutely need it. And even when I need it, I'm like, wait, can I just get over this anxiety attack on my own? 10 out of 10, most likely, yes, I can. But sometimes in the rare occasion, the pill will help me. Except it's just kind of not worth it for me, you know, because I take it and then I'm like, oh, I'm just going to be sad the next day. Like this isn't what I want, you know, like, I don't want to be bummed out. I can't function on this. I'm going to be sad at work. It's just this constant, like, ugh, should I take it? Should I not? You know, like, I have antidepressants that I was prescribed, never even touched this stuff. It's literally just in my drawer. So it's just things like that, but that's my way of coping with it. So that's my way of dealing with my addictions, having what I'm addicted to be next to me. And I know that's not for everyone. That's my type of exposure though, because that helps me. That helps me know that I don't need it. I'm strong enough to say no. And it's literally, it's right next to me. It's in right by my nightstand, you know? So it's so accessible to me and it just sits there. And that's just the way that I deal with things, because if I throw it away, I'm like, oh, but I want it, but I want it. And I'm going to always obsess about it, but it's right next to me and I know that I don't need it, you know? So that's just the way that it works for me. It doesn't work like that for everybody. And that's perfectly fine, because I understand that people, you know, just kind of wean off the stuff, and I go cold turkey and it's really difficult. I don't recommend that. If you need to wean off of certain things, do that, because it's in the long run, it affects you more negatively than positively, right? That's worked for me though, personally, but not everybody, and that's perfectly fine.
You know, that's the tricky thing about dealing with any sort of mental health thing, is that everybody is different. Mm-hmm. And even if there's like a group, let's just say there's a group of people that therapy works for them, even within that, you have to find a type of therapist that works for you.
Yes.
Or a type of therapy. So it's just really, you know, we could have so many episodes talking about so many different ways of coping with different mental health issues, because everyone is different. And
yeah,
it just depends. Some of us are afraid to take medication, even if it's going to help. I'm the same way. Like, I will be prescribed. This happens so much. I'll be prescribed, even if, like, I get injured and, like, I get painkillers or something, I'll be so scared. I'm like, I don't want to be addicted.
I won't even take them. I won't even take them. I have painkillers because I have back problems. And I'm like, let me not take these things.
Yeah.
You know?
I was prescribed the highest painkiller that they're allowed to prescribe 2 weeks ago. And I had to take them. And I was terrified the whole week that I was on them. I was like, I feel so like scared and anxious right now. And
that's the anxiety kicking in, honestly.
Mm-hmm. And coming off of them was terrifying, because I could feel it in my body. But like, oh my gosh, just because like I do have that fear of like my dad that pops into my head, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like it runs in my veins. I'm gonna get addicted. But like, you know, so everybody deals with it differently. And like, if you have to go some weird route that like is so ludicrous to the people around you, like just do it if it works for you.
Yeah. If it works for you, honestly, do it.
Seriously.
You know that at least you're not going to take what, you know, you want to take, do it. Because it's very hard. I struggle with wanting to take my medication every day, because it makes me feel numb. And that's addicting in itself. Feeling nothing is addicting, because there's so much to feel all the time, right? And when you suffer from depression, when you suffer from anxiety, your emotions are extremely heightened, right? Like your sadness is so strong. You're like, I don't want to feel sad anymore, but I don't want to also feel happy, because being sad is also really addicting. And I like kind of wallowing in my own self-pity. Like it just becomes this really cyclical kind of sick thing that you go through, you know, your brain just kind of like, well, what do you want then? And then you're like, I don't know what I want. Do I want to be happy? Yes. But do I ever feel that I can genuinely ever be happy? Probably not. And that sucks, you know? So it's also those things too, like accepting the diagnosis that you have. Like myself, for instance, like my brain just literally does not produce enough serotonin. It just does not do it. And that's just something that I'm always going to have to deal with, you know? And I function throughout my day, and I have my moments where, like, honestly, sometimes I'm just like, I'm in my car. I don't know if this happens to you. I think it happens to a lot of people, but I, like, the other day I was driving in the car, and I was like, just spacing out, like, damn, I'm like, this kind of sucks, you know? Like, I'm kind of lonely. And I was so serious, and I'm like, well, I'm not like depressed. I'm not super sad right now, but like, I kind of like don't want to deal with myself, you know? So I got home and I just went to sleep, and I'm like, damn, I'm waking up to do the same thing every day. It just becomes like so routine, like, you know? That's why, honestly though, Star, like I will say, like when I look at your Instagram and like, well, Angel's Instagram, like you guys are everywhere, and I'm like, man, that's so awesome. Like I wish that I could be able to see the world, right? I wish I could be able to go out and not be afraid to just explore certain things, you know? So I've messaged him, and I'm like, you know, your lifestyle is really, it's different, but honestly, it's so interesting. And I love that. As I told him, like, if you guys, you know, you guys can totally, like, people will donate to you because people love to live vicariously through other people. And I'm like, you guys are literally one of the people that I live vicariously through, because I have such a fear of the outdoors and of other people. That's part of my, like, anxieties, that I just won't go anywhere, you know? But it stops me from doing so many things that I want to do. And it stops me from seeing so many beautiful things, you know? So in regards to like the way that you live, it's honestly so, it's so nice. And I really do like give you credit for being able to move around all the time and not be like conventional in that way, you know, just staying in one place.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because honestly, moving around, and I realized this right before I moved to Thailand. I told my mom, I was like, this is my therapy. Like, if I stay put, I will get depressed. I can feel myself, if I stay somewhere for more than 3 months, I can feel myself starting, like, it's like this dark shadow of depression that's just starting to come into my life, and I'm like, I have to leave. Yeah. Like, I can't stay put. And you know, I told Angel that when I met him, I was like, I have to be constantly moving. And even, like, we've talked about, like, in the future, like, way in the future, when we have kids and have a family, like, obviously we have to be able to stay put so that they can go to school and stuff. But yeah. I'm like, we have to go on, like, travels, like, like multiple times a year, because I don't want to be depressed around my kids, you know? Like, I want to be able to be strong for them. But it really is... it's my therapy, and that's how I cope with it. But it's interesting too, because I have a lot of fears too that cause anxiety that I face on the road and moving. And it's interesting that, like, moving is like my therapy because I need constant change, but at the same time it forces me to face some of my fears. But no, it's really good.
Yeah. And also too, like, just to kind of bounce on the kids part, that is probably one of my biggest fears. My boyfriend and I, like Joey, we talk about like having a kid. I only personally only want one child. But I can imagine myself being like, you know, I want to be as stable as possible for my child, you know, and for myself, obviously. But like, I think about like, man, like, what if what I have like goes into them, you know, and what if they have like bipolar tendencies, and what if they have depressive disorder? Like, I'm always so afraid of failing before I even start. And it's like, this is a life that I'm going to affect. Like, and then I start feeling guilty. And then I'm like, do I really want a baby? Like, do I really want to bring somebody into this world and have them see their mom be depressed? Like, is that really what I want? So I start to overthink everything, and I end up making myself feel so bad. And I don't even have a kid yet, you know? So it's like those constant fears, the anxiety just gets the best of me. And it's like, as much as a stable person that I want to be, realistically speaking, I'm gonna have those days where I'm not feeling my best. So it's okay to like not have good days. I think the way that I might go about it is just to be transparent with my child, right? To be as honest as I possibly can, because what if they're going through the same thing and they feel that they can't talk to me about those things, right? But we're going to be able to relate because I've literally been through those things, and whatever you feel, I most likely have felt it as well, you know, and I can help you, and you can always talk to me about anything. So I think about those things, and, you know, sometimes bringing a life into this world is obviously really scary and intimidating, because we don't want to fail as parents, right? We don't want to repeat the same cycles that our parents did with us, you know, but being aware in that way helps me like not feel so bad about it, even though I do go through the little guilt while I don't have a kid right now, you know? So it's those little struggles of being like, damn, am I gonna fuck my kid up? I don't want to.
Yeah, no, it's, oh my gosh, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, no, it's, I mean, I like the way that you're looking at it, how you can teach them and you can be there for them if they do happen to have the same issue as you. You know, like, that's a great way to look at it, because it would be harder if you were perfectly, like, you didn't struggle with mental health issues in any sort and you had a kid who did. That would be so hard, because you wouldn't be able to understand, and you wouldn't know how to be there for them. And if you weren't like a super caring parent, like, there's situations where parents get upset at the kid and they're like, okay, it's not real, you know? And that's so sad. Yeah. So I think it's good that you're going through this, because you can be there for your kids if they do happen to struggle with the same thing.
Yeah, that brings me some kind of comfort. Just be like, oh, well, look, if I'm going to be sad and they're going to be sad, we can be sad together, and then like we can figure it out. We can cope together, you know?
So, yeah. I mean, I get nervous about having kids too, because like I have a temper and I'm so, so scared of accidentally letting that go on a kid, you know, on one of my kids in the future. And I don't want them to like resent me for it or be scared of me, you know, like that would just break my heart. So, you know, I'm doing everything I can the years leading up to it to manage it, you know.
And do the work necessary with yourself so you can be better for the future, whoever comes into your life in that way.
And, you know, I'll probably teach my kids as they grow up. I'll probably teach them about mental health and just teach them that some people struggle with different things. And so if they ever do witness that, like, they can understand from a young age that, oh, that's just something that our mom struggles with, you know?
Yeah. And normalize it, you know, normalize those things, because you're not crazy. It's just, we're just wired differently, right? But we still manage, we still function, and we're still individuals, we're still people, you know? You have a temper and I get sad, you know? So it's like, I totally get where you're coming from though, because I have a really bad temper too, but that also took me a really, really long time to fix. And now it's like, do I really want to fight? Oh my God, no, I don't, because my energy is going to be so exerted. It's not even worth it. So picking and choosing your battles, that is so hard to do, but I've gotten so much better at it, and it makes my life so much easier, you know?
Yeah, good. Yeah, no, another thing that's so good to experience now for your future kids, if they struggle with it, is sexual orientation. And I know that that's something that you have experience with, which I'm so excited to hear your story with this. But yeah, I think it's so good to go through different things. You know, everybody has kind of a different story with that if they're going through that. And I think that's good to experience, because you never know what your kids will be going through.
Right.
So if you don't mind sharing your story a little bit with that.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I am bisexual. My experience growing up, like, I always knew. My first crush was my third grade teacher.
Oh.
I forgot what her name was. My mom's like over there, and she'll know the name. But yeah, I remember like having the biggest crush on her. I always was like, oh my God, like, girls, you know? And then in middle school, I had always been out, like, I never kept that a secret, just not with my family though, because nobody knew until like later on, you know? And yeah, like, everybody at school knew that I was bisexual, and it was just like a thing. And then kind of explored those avenues, you know? My point to this is that my experience with women hasn't always been consistent or great, okay? And that first started with one of my ex-best friends growing up in middle school. She was, you know, she never identified as queer or anything like that. She was just the straight girl that liked to kiss girls sometimes and kind of lead them on like that. So that's always been my experience, and it's been so frustrating.
Oh no.
And I ended up like really liking her, and then she would just kind of like use me like that, you know, like kind of tease me and always lead me on all the time. And I was just like, oh my God, like, what is this? You know? So it was so confusing, because you're still trying to find out like who you are and trying to be like, well, like, I want a girlfriend kind of thing, you know, but oh, I have to keep this a secret because my family doesn't know. But then you have your best friend supposedly like leading you on and wanting you to sleep over and those things happening. And it just became really toxic. And I'm like, this is not cute. Like, I don't want to deal with this, you know? So I ended up feeling like really bad, and I kind of felt like a circus for everybody, right? I'll tell you this story. One time we were in the girls' locker room, and everybody knew that I was bisexual. So they're like, oh yeah, like, I dare you to kiss so and so. And I was like, all right, like, I'll kiss her. That's fine. And everybody was like, whoa, like, what? Like, that's crazy. And I did it. But then I ended up being that for everybody, like, kind of being like, oh yeah, like, Vanessa will kiss you. Like, Vanessa will, like, dude, yeah, ask Vanessa, you know, like, just kind of like a show. And it was so frustrating. And that ended up trickling into my experiences with men. Men always sexualizing me all the time. And, oh, are you down to have a threesome? Like, no. Like, what? Like, Just, oh, it's been so frustrating, both with men and women, because I've only ever dated cis men and women, but I'm good with everyone else. Like, I will, it doesn't matter, like, what you identify as, like, I will date you if I liked you, right? And I know that that falls under the, like, umbrella term, like, bisexual is an umbrella term. I don't identify as poly just because I've been bisexual, like, my whole life. So that's just what I've always said that I am. It's just, I'm most comfortable with that term, you know? But, yeah, and my experiences with men has always been quite toxic, I guess, because, you know, some people are just not great. And with women, they've always been so unattainable for me, always. Always, always, always. I've never had a girlfriend. I've never, like, been with someone, with a woman that, you know, I can actually, like, introduce to my family or anything like that. And that kind of sucks. So internally, I do yearn for those things. I write poetry. And whenever I do, like, it's just the women that come to my brain, you know? And I'm lucky that I have a partner that is really supportive of my sexuality, right? And even though those things were a struggle, I dated Joey in high school. But like I said, I was not the best in high school growing up. I was really angry, so I didn't treat him the best. And he was really jealous because I was bisexual, right? And I liked girls, like, in high school and things like that. Just really, like, childish things and whatever. So we ended up breaking up, and I didn't speak to him for 5 years. And then we spoke again, and then we got back together, you know? So he's my best friend, and we get along really great. But we communicate a lot about everything, you know? So sexuality is obviously, like, one of the things that we talk about. And yeah, not being sexualized in that way where it's like, oh yeah, like, let's do this. Let's, you know, I mean, every couple goes through their own little things. I won't kind of, like, talk too much about that, but more feeling like that's not all you want me for, right? Because men would just kind of date me because I liked women. They thought that it was just okay that to include other people, you know? Yeah. It's like, no, I'm not down with that like that. Like, I'm not if you're sexualizing me, not if that's all you see me as, like, this woman that likes other women that can satisfy your fantasies. Like, that is so disgusting.
That,
you know?
Is like, that's just unacceptable, because,
yeah, absolutely,
that's just making assumptions right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have no experience in this, and I think that's why I was so excited to hear your story, because we haven't yet talked about this on the podcast, and I just think it's an important thing to discuss. But I especially find it intriguing to hear the difference between your experience with men and your experience with women.
Right.
But
right.
I do think, yeah, it's really cool that you write poetry, and that you kind of, that's almost like an outlet for you with something that you've been wanting.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I love writing poetry. Sometimes, like, I'll share a poem with you later.
Okay.
But yeah, I write poetry just because I enjoy writing and everything like that. And it has been an outlet for me, because sometimes I just feel like so, like a bubble inside of me. And I'm like, I need to put this somewhere, you know? And I end up writing these things. I'm like, wow, I've never even been with a woman like this to even write like this. It's like, I romanticize it because I've never had it the way that I want to, you know? I've talked to girls, but it's always been kind of dramatic and, like, just like, I don't have fun with it. Just kind of, like, working too hard, you know? And not to say, like, with men it's easier, okay? Like, with men I don't have to try so hard. Like, with men, it although it's still frustrating, it's like, I know that you like me, and I don't have to second guess those things. With women, I have to, like, think, like, well, is she queer? Like, is she, you know, is she just one of those girls that gets drunk and likes to kiss girls? I don't want to deal with that. And I always deal with that, you know, and that just becomes really draining after a while, because I started kind of telling myself, like, I'm not gonna, and this is a high standard, I guess, and not very realistic, like, I'm not gonna be with anybody that isn't secure in their sexuality. And that's not fair for me to say, because sexuality is very fluid, and you have every right to change what you like and how you feel about certain things, because I haven't been exposed to anything other than cis men or women, right? But I started kind of exposing myself just separately through, like, TikTok, for instance, because honestly, like, TikTok really is so diverse, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, like, this is really beautiful. Like, I wouldn't mind dating you, you know, like, things like that. And then I started realizing, like, wow, I'm not just I like everything, you know? I'm not opposed to these things. I'm not just like, what? Ew, no. Like, I just only cis men, only cis women. Like, that isn't fair, you know? And so it isn't fair for me to only be like, I'm only going to date you if you're secure in your sexuality, because that's not realistic, you know? But I think it would more tie into, like, if you identify, you know, whatever you identify as, and then you're just like, oh, I'm just really confused. Like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to be your avenue for those things, because I've been that for a lot of people.
You know, I wouldn't feel bad about that. Like, yes, it's not a bad thing at all to be figuring it out. And some people go their whole life just kind of bouncing around, and that's totally fine. But you also have to consider yourself, and, you know, like, you can't be stressed out the whole time you're with someone wondering if they actually have real feelings for you. So don't feel bad about it.
Yeah. And the whole exes thing, like, you know how many women I've spoken to that are just so hung up on their exes, like, please just leave me alone. Aunt, please. You know, I'm begging you. Like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to be second choice to anybody. Like, and I feel like that's not too much to ask for. I just feel like that's common decency, you know? Like, oh, man, yeah, just me with women, you know, I love them, but it just doesn't work out for me. And I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with that.
I've always wondered, like, if, like, being, like, a girl being with a girl, if that is, like, so much drama, you know, just because guys typically are usually pretty, like, they don't care, you know, and, like, they don't get, like, too upset, like, they're just kind of chill and they do their thing. But, like, I've always wondered, like, what it would be like to be in a relationship with a woman, because, like, especially if it's two, like, pretty dramatic women.
I don't want to generalize. I will say, just in my experiences, the men that I've dealt with are also quite crappy, to be honest. I guess communication is more difficult with men, in my experience. Just very personal. But my communication with women has been like, you know, you're hurting my feelings, or like, this is just really frustrating. I can vocalize a lot more, even though it won't always get reciprocated, but the vocals will be there. Like, us talking about our feelings will be there more than I have with men, right? But yeah, in my experiences, both men and women have been extremely dramatic, stressed me out. It's just been stressful. And it sucks, because I wish that I had good experiences. I wish that I could, you know, be with someone like, wow, I have a boyfriend over here talking like that. But he knows, so it's perfectly fine. I'm not hiding anything. But yeah, like, he knows that I've always yearned for that, like, woman affection, and being like, man, like, I just wish I could have experienced something like that, you know? And who knows, maybe I might later on in my life. One never knows, you know?
You never know. Just gotta go day by day.
Day by day, taking it day by day.
Yeah. You know, one of the biggest things I love preaching, I guess, I don't like using that term, but I do talk a lot about it on Society Says, is individuality, and how we're all, like, literally every person on this earth, even if you're a twin, like, you're so different than anyone else. Like, you're your own being. You act different, you look different, you smell different, like, you're interested in different things. And I just think that's so beautiful. And talking about mental health today, and also sexual orientation, that goes with that, you know? Like, it makes me sad when people look down on themselves when they struggle with, like, depression or something, because the world lets us know that that's, like, a bad thing if you struggle with that, that something's wrong with you, and, like, it's so negative. But really, it's just, like, another colorful thing to add to who you are, you know? And I like that you own who you are, and, like, the things that you go through.
Well, it takes a long time to get there, you know? It takes a long time. And I still have a lot of things to work on. Like, I will openly admit that I don't love myself the way that I should. I have, you know, a lot of issues with, you know, the way that I look and the way that I feel about myself. And sometimes I don't feel good enough. I always think something's wrong with me. Like, if it's not one thing, it's another. And I go through those really, really bad internal struggles of always feeling like I'm just this sad person, right? And it can be really frustrating, because it can be debilitating. And like, man, I just can never be okay. Like, when am I going to be okay? And it's like, well, even if you're not, Vanessa, like, at the end of the day, you know that you're still functioning and you're still good. It's okay to be sad. And I've learned to be more vocal about the way that I'm feeling. Like, if I'm not having a good day, I say it. Hey, I'm not having a good day today. Instead of projecting onto other people, because it's no one's fault, you know? And sometimes I'm just lacking in here. Sometimes I'm just lacking in my brain. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not too happy today. There's nothing wrong with that. And the people that want to be around you will be accepting of those things and be understanding at the end of the day, you know? Like, I'm in a long distance relationship. My boyfriend, he's overseas right now. He's serving in the military. So that in itself is so hard. And I never thought that I was going to be like in that situation. He's about what, like 13 hours ahead of me. That's wow. Very difficult. Oh my even gosh. Though we talk every day, you know, but we talk at different times of the day, you know? And I miss him like crazy. And I get extremely lonely, like extremely lonely. My cat just passed away and that was like my biggest coping mechanism. So, you know, dealing with those things, can be really overwhelming. And I haven't had like a mental breakdown in, you know, a good amount of months. But sometimes I'm just scared of those things happening. But also with Joey, I've learned to be so, so transparent with him about the way that I'm feeling. Like, if he can tell, like, if something's wrong, if I start like, okay, yeah, like, all right, okay, cool. He's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, he knows my pattern now, you know? And he's like, you need to just tell me like when you're sad, that way we can work through it together and we can talk about it. And that makes me feel so good, because like you said, you know, like we go through it and we deal with it by ourselves to not burden other people, but it's not really a burden. We end up making ourselves feel like we're the burden, you
and
know?
Honestly,
and we're not.
When you try, most in my experience, especially being married, when I try to keep it to myself and I try not to let like Angel know when like I'm having seriously just a horrible day, and like I don't know the reason for it too, and that makes me not want to tell him even more, because I literally don't know what's wrong with my brain that day. But
you don't know.
Yeah, but it causes more issues for the other person being there, because obviously like your energy is off and like there's clearly something wrong. And especially like as a husband, he's just like, what is going on, you know? And so, yes, I think totally, like, if you have a partner in your life, like, or even family, like, or even like, honestly, even like the people you live with, even if it's like roommates or something, I think just vocally being like, look, I'm having a messed up day, you know, like that's it. And you don't have to unpack on them, you know, you can just literally say, I'm just not okay today.
And I don't want to talk right now, that's perfectly fine too, like respect people's boundaries.
Anyway, I just think that's something that's important to bring up. But yeah, back on like the whole how we're different, I kind of want to, before we end this, kind of touch on how that can play a role culturally and also like with our family, how that kind of affects all of that.
Absolutely.
So I don't know
if I think Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, question. I was just going to say, I don't know if you have anything to share, like, right off the bat with that.
Yeah, I mean, culturally, right, I'm Mexican-American. I grew up in a toxic household, I will say. I had to learn how to just, like, fight against certain beliefs that are toxic and not healthy for the way that you're going to navigate through the world, right? I guess this is just a whole topic in itself. It's more like politically correct kind of things, you know, just racist and homophobia and colorist and all those things. Like, these were all things that were quite embedded in me from like an early age. But I constantly held that, like, wait, this isn't right. This isn't good. Like, why is this so wrong? Like, why is this that, right? Because my family taught me to be that way. My family taught me to think a certain way. And to really tie it back into individuality, just learning how to think outside of the box, right? Think outside of the mold that you're brought into, because it's not sustainable. It's not healthy to think certain ways. And I really want to be as inclusive as possible, you know? And even to this day, like my dad and I, we've been through struggles and we've, you know, gone through our own things. We're a lot better now, but that's because we have communication, but he still thinks a lot of the same things that he has before. But now I can actually have these conversations where I'm like, no, let's unpack this and let's actually talk about why that's not healthy, you know? Excuse me. And I've learned, my sibling and I, you know, we learn from each other, and we are probably one of the most unconventional people like that you'll meet. You know, we are just, you have to talk to my sibling. Sorry, I think you'd have a really good conversation with my sibling. And they're honestly really great. But yeah, we, both my sibling and I, we've been through a lot of trauma, and we've still made it out being ourselves. My sibling and I were the same, but totally different, you know? And we learned so much from each other, and we're like, we think back about like our childhood, and we're like, man, like we really could have been so messed up. And yeah, we are messed up in a lot of ways, but we're so good in comparison, right? And I can really say that because, yeah, in comparison, my family is not the greatest. My dad's side of the family, you know?
No, I can definitely relate to that. Like the whole, like looking back now that I'm older, I look back and I'm like, holy crap, I should be like a drug addict and like messed up, not on a good path. Like, I totally understand.
Alcoholism is something that runs in my family. Like we've lost family members due to that. You know, my grandfather, my dad's dad is a severe alcoholic. His brother passed away because of alcohol. Just a lot of people in my family are alcoholics, either functioning or not. And, you know, I've had my fair share of experiences with alcohol. It's just little things like that, but creating that sense of like, nah, I don't want to do that. You know, that in itself makes you who you are, because you either go down this path or you go down that path. And when you get to make those decisions on your own is when you really know that you're in complete control of who you want to be and who you will be, right? And how you want to mold yourself. Because if I had somebody telling me, hey, do this, Vanessa, do that, Vanessa, like my dad wanted me to be a corporate lawyer, right? I don't want to do that, because morally for me, that's not something that I would ever want to represent, because I don't want to fight for those things, right? I don't care about big business like that. And that's just a whole another thing in my own political views, you know, where they differ so much from my dad, because he is a businessman and I'm just like, not like that. I'm such a get out of here with that. You know, we always like fight about little things like that. And the things that are important to him are not important to me, you know, but that's from me unattaching myself from material things like that, you know, but that's also really hard to do, because it's easy to fall into those categories of like, well, this is handed to me, so let me just kind of take it, you know, but I'm so far from those things. And that's just how I end up being like myself.
Yeah, I think that's good. You know, literally every decision that we make, even if it's the smallest thing, just like choosing our outfit for the day, like that is us forming who we are going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really awesome. And especially coming from like toxic households, I think that's it. You're making that decision as a kid growing up, witnessing and experiencing traumatic things. You're making that decision if you are going to turn out like that parent or parents, or if you're going to tell yourself, I'm going to do everything possible to not be like that and to live the life I want to.
Yes. Yes. So so far I'm quite happy with the individual that I've become, and it's taken a lot of work and constant work. I work at that every single day, you know? But that also ties in with being self-aware and being accepting of myself, you know, and like, I don't need to be this way. And I'm going to try my best to always be myself and to help other people in the process, you know? But yeah, I mean, it's so crazy. Like the things that you grow up seeing and how you can either do it or not, you stop the cycle. And I really did decide to stop that cycle.
That's good. And you know, something that I've noticed growing up, like the older I get, even though like I have chosen to live a better life than what I witnessed, I still have things that are wrong with me mentally. Like I am a very like screwed up person, and there are still things to this day that I'll be talking to Angel and I'm like, I literally don't know. Like I can't tell you what's happening to me right now, because I'm still years after, you know, being like verbally abused and stuff, like I'm still working through it. And like anyone that's listening, like I'm just saying this because like, yes, you can totally break the cycle. You can totally go rise above and be live like a great life that's very positive. But that doesn't mean that like you don't, you're not going to have those issues. I mean, everybody that gets abused in any form or goes through traumatic experiences, like, it's just going to be with you. And it honestly, like, I think it's going to take your whole life to figure everything out, because especially if it's from birth, you learn stuff, and then the older you get, you start to question like what you learned and like what's real and what's fake, and like, it's just, yeah. So I just kind of wanted to say that as like a, just for anyone listening, that you can totally live your own life, but just know that like there's also still, it's normal if you're struggling with
things. Yeah, and you're constantly going to have to be working at those things, you know? And that's just the reality of the situation. I mean, I work with my trauma every day, you know, being like the verbal abuse and all that stuff, you know, the emotional abuse. Man, I just remember so many things. I'm like, I'm so glad I don't have to go through that anymore. I'm so glad that me and my dad kind of got over those hurdles, because, you know, I learned to be pretty vocal with my dad about those things too. And he's just like, wow, I'm so sorry. And it's like, you know, at 25, it's nice to hear those things, but also it's like, yeah, I'm still kind of messed up from those things, but I'm willing to do the work to work with you so that we can move past it, you know? And I think it's a lot of work to do those things, because my dad really, you know, he messed me up a lot the time. So,
yeah. Well, I think it's amazing to hear like another person that's just doing what they can to work on themselves every day, because that's all we can do is just try and keep working absolutely. And learning and growing. Before we wrap this up, I just ask everybody to give one piece of advice, just with life, with the topics that we covered, whatever you want, just for our audience to hear.
I think my best advice for anyone listening would be to let yourself feel whatever you want to feel. If you need help, seek it, and just learn to love yourself. I mean, it's a struggle, and I still have to work on those things, but you know, once you kind of accept yourself for who you are and you try your best to be like, okay, this is me, this is what I come with, how can I better myself for the people around me, and it'll make your life so much easier and much more pleasant, you know. But it's okay to not have good days. It's really, really okay. I guess also to like communicate those things, because it makes all the difference when you say it and you create those boundaries, and people, you find that they will respect them a lot of the time, you know? That's my best advice for people.
I love it. Well, thank you so, so much for hopping on today. This was a great discussion. I definitely opened up more. Like, there's some things I haven't shared yet on this platform that I shared today. So I'm just thankful that I could feel, you know, comfortable talking absolutely. With you today.
Well, thank you for having me on. I really do appreciate it for keeping me in mind.
Of course. Well, everybody who listened today, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that this was helpful in some way, inspiring, motivating, for anybody that might be going through similar issues with any of these topics. Sending out good vibes to you guys. I love and appreciate all of you for tuning in. If you're new to this podcast, welcome, and don't forget to tune in next week. Bye.